Been a great day. A great day. Anytime we are afforded the opportunity to come together and the freedom to worship God, it's a great day. And our sisters have been here all day, and so it's been a long day for them. But we appreciate your presence here tonight. We appreciate all the brothers who helped lead in the singing. So let me hold you just briefly tonight, but I'd like you to turn to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Beginning with the first word in the first verse. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lies sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." The raising of Lazarus from the dead serves as irrefutable proof of the deity of Jesus Christ. When Jesus arrives in the village of Bethany, Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. The Jews would usually bury their dead the same day that they died. So Lazarus has been in the tomb for 4 days. They would wash the body, anoint it with certain oils, and wrap the body. But their way of preserving the dead was nothing like what we have today. So when Jesus arrives 4 days after the death of Lazarus into the village of Bethany, Jesus says to the sisters, "Take me to where your brother is." And it was one of the sisters, Martha, who said to him, "Lord, by now his body is decaying." Lazarus has been dead long enough that his body, his flesh, has already started the decomposing period in which his flesh is now rotting from the lack of life. And yet it was this man to whom Jesus stepped up to his tomb, this man who was dead and rotting, and Jesus called him out of that tomb, and Lazarus came forth. The raising of Lazarus is irrefutable proof of the deity of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ was and that Jesus Christ is exactly who he claimed to be. Now, there are many who wonder why that John's account is the only one of the four accounts of the life of Christ that mention this miracle. And those who wonder reason within themselves, listen, a miracle of this depth and a miracle of this meaning should have been recorded by the other three, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But it's only John who records this incredible miracle. You need to remember two things about that. The first thing you need to remember is that John wrote his account of the life of Christ much later than the other three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, who are known as the Synoptics. John wrote his account decades later. The second thing you need to remember, and the second thing leads back to the first thing, is that according to John chapter 12 and verse 10, that the religious Jewish leaders were then seeking Lazarus that they may kill him. Now, why would they want to kill Lazarus? Because Lazarus was the walking, talking, living proof that this miracle had happened. And if we can kill Lazarus, we can put an end to this miracle. So it is believed decades later that by the time John wrote his gospel, that Lazarus had now deceased. And now it would be safe to write about this and put this out for people to see, whereas if Matthew, Mark, and Luke had written this and circulated it about, that Lazarus' life would have been in jeopardy. Now, whether that be that or not, here's what we know. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And that John is the only one who recorded this. Now, full disclosure here. John chapter 11 is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. And I honestly believe that there is a lifetime worth of study, an application that could be made from this one chapter. But here's the little thing that I want you to see tonight. Look at John chapter 11, and in verse 3, the message that the sisters, Mary and Martha, initially sent to Jesus to beckon him to come to their brother, the message at the end of verse 3 simply said, "Lord, the one you love is sick." Now I want you to notice two things here. First, I want you to notice that in their calling to Jesus, the message says, "Lord, the one, listen, you love is sick." The message was not, "Lord, me and Martha, me and Mary love you. Will you come to Lazarus?" The message was, "Lord, the one you love is sick." The message was not, "Lord, you know that Lazarus loves you, so will you come to Lazarus?" The message was not, "Lord, our family loves you, will you come?" The message was, "Lord, the one you love is sick." All of us are aware that God loves the world. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." The world there is not talking about trees and plants. It's talking about the people world. We are aware that God loves the world. You and I are aware that God loves the church. In Ephesians 5 and verse 25, Paul said that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. We are aware of that. But are you aware that God loves you? You. Are you aware that God loves you? Am I aware that God loves me? Are you aware that nobody has ever been born and nobody has ever lived on this earth to whom God loves any more than he loves you? Look quickly at Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians 2 and verse 20, the word me, M-E, is going to appear twice. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. But Christ lives in me. Now watch, the word me will occur two more times. The life that I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, watch it, who loved me and who gave himself for me. Paul was aware that God loved the world. Paul was aware that God loved the church. Paul's the one who wrote Ephesians 5:25. But what Paul was aware of is that, look, God loved me. He died for me. Do you realize that God died for you? Do you realize that God loves you? What I'm talking about here is individual love. The message Jesus got was, Lord, the one you love, he's the one who's sick. Look at Luke 15 quickly. Luke 15, beginning with verse 3. This is the parable of the lost sheep, Luke 15, verse 3. Then he told them this parable. Suppose one of you had 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 and go into the open country and go out after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulder and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way there is more rejoicing in heaven over one lost sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who does not need repentance. Here was one lost sheep. This sheep was lost to God. This sheep was lost to the flock. This sheep was lost to himself. But I want you to look at the care and the love that is given to just one lost sheep. It says that the shepherd left the 99 and looked for the one lost sheep. And how long did he look for the one? Until he found it. When you coming back? When I find it. How long you gonna be gone till I find it? Look at the love and concern. When he finds it, he takes it home. He takes it home. Notice when he finds it that he picks it up and he places it on its on his shoulders. That's tenderness and love. He doesn't find it and then wrap a cord around its throat and drag it back and say, "Stay where you belong here." And in verse 7, we read that because of one sinner, heaven has a party. Nobody's ever lived who God loves more than he loves you. Not Peter, not Paul, not James, not John, not any of them. Lord, the one you love. Very quickly, notice the second thing in John 11 and verse 3. The message was, Lord, the one you love, next two words, is sick. Even those whom the Lord loves get sick. Even those whom the Lord loves get sick. Last Wednesday night we studied Dorcas. The Bible says she was full of good works. Her life is described as one that was literally running over in the area of good works. But Dorcas got sick and died. Look at Job. The opening verses announce him as one of a kind. One of a kind. But look what he went through. Secular history records to us that 11 of the 12 apostles died deaths of a martyr. James beheaded, Paul beheaded, Peter crucified upside down, and the list goes on and on. And John the Baptizer, of whom Jesus said, there's never been born a greater of woman than John. And look what happened to John. Even those whom the Lord loves get sick. Now the question, why do good people get sick? Why do some of the greatest saints who have ever lived die some slow, painful death? And the answer to the question of sickness and disease goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden, the first man chose to sin. Paul, much later, defines it, describes it like this. Turn to Romans 5, and we're going to close there. Romans chapter 5, and in verse 12, Paul describes it like this. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin. And in this way, death came to all because all sin. Now look at the verse. Therefore, there's that grammatical bridge. Therefore, So if I'm going to understand what's about to be said, I have to understand what's just been said. What has just been said is that Paul is talking about our need for salvation. And the reason that Paul has been pressing our need for salvation is because our need for salvation is a universal need, because all of us have sinned. So he says, just as sin entered the world through one man brought sin into the world. That was Adam. And as a consequence of that one man's sin, sin came into the world. As a consequence of his sin. And when that sin came into the world, he says, then death came by sin. Listen, that expression, and death came by sin, is the completion of that sentence that one man, sin, entered into the world. And when sin came into the world, death came into the world. But now understand this. You and I are not suffering our death as the consequence of Adam's sin. We are suffering death, and we suffer as we do as the consequence of our own sin. Look at how he ends the verse. He says, because all have sinned. And so every one of us, as descendants of Adam, engage in exactly what Adam engaged in, and that was sin. And a result of that sin brought death. And when death came, everything that causes death came. And a lot of times we want to look to God in sickness, not just our own, but others. And we want to point the finger at God. But when you're wagging your finger at God, your finger is in totally the wrong direction. Don't you ever think again in your life that nobody cares. Don't you ever think in your life that nobody loves you. But God showed his love for us while we were sinners. Christ died for us. If you need to respond, we'll give you that opportunity right now as together we stand.